Howdy friends, how are you doing this day? AddedSouls.com podcast powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. Stefan Maillet here, your audio and video servant for this episode, for this session. What are we looking at? We are looking at the Comforter. The Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. We want to first and foremost put some context to the text itself so that we can have a bit of an idea what we're talking about. You see here, Jesus, from chapters 13 to chapter 17 in the book of John, Jesus is speaking to his apostles, okay? He's being intimate with them. He's teaching them. He's disclosing his deity with them and reinforcing them with the knowledge of a coming helper, a comforter, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And he's simply stating, listen, I am God and God is me, and God will not leave you, but rather will be with you. He does this through the perspective of a physical form. You have to remember, while Jesus walked on this earth, while he went about his ministry, he was in physical form. He was in flesh on this earth. And so when he makes reference to God the Creator, the Father, he does so from the perspective of a human being, a man on this earth. Soon, of course, in this context and teaching, speaking to his apostles of a transformation away from the physical reality and into the spiritual reality once again. Now, I want us to read the section in question here, which is found in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 31. And we will most certainly be discussing these verses. And I want us to be wise. I want us to be genuine. I want us to be sincere. I want us to be honest with the scripture so that we can move forward and speak of the Holy Spirit in his proper context. Because, friends, there's so much confusion, doubt, uncertainty, and plain old ignorance of the Holy Spirit in today's umbrella of Christendom. And friends, that is a result of all the division, all these denominations, all these different churches with different names teaching different things that don't belong to Jesus, nor his teachings. It's something Jesus never wanted. He actually prayed for unity, that we as Christians all believe the same thing according to the doctrine he has allowed us to have, the Bible. It's through Jesus Christ we now have this communication, you know, the word in which we gain faith, Romans 10:17. It's important that we understand the source of error that has birthed in our minds a misguided view of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, in John chapter 14. So, if we move forward and let's read the text here, I quote from starting in verse 16, Jesus speaking to his apostles, I will ask the Father, remember the perspective, he's in flesh, he's physical, Jesus, deity in a human form, speaking to the Father in heaven. I will ask the Father and he will give you another. See, God the Father gave God the Son to the people as in a physical form, as a human being. But God the Father is going to give them another helper, this helper, this comforter, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit, of course, is in question here, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. You see how this is happening in the proper context when Christ is speaking directly, intimately to his chosen apostles here. I will not leave you as orphans. Yes, I have to leave this earth. I have to fulfill the messianic prophecies. I must go to the cross. It is to save mankind from their sins. But I'll come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will also. I love how the Bible explains in a grammatical way the me's and the you's and that kind of stuff is important. We're not getting into that on this episode, but I strongly encourage a study of grammar. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Speaking of the coming day where all things will be fulfilled and the doors to the kingdom of God will be opened. Of course, speaking of the recorded account we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, great power from on high, the Holy Spirit, the fulfilled prophecies coming about, and the establishment of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ takes place. Now, verse 21, chapter 14, Jesus speaking here, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me." It's conditional, right? "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Now a question comes into place by Judas, not the Iscariot, not the one who brought Jesus to the cross. This Judas here is Theudas, I believe. "Said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" He can't make sense of what's being spoken because, again, he's thinking along the lines of a worldly kingdom, an earthly kingdom. He's still thinking about, you know, David's kingdom. He's thinking that Jesus is going to establish an earthly kingdom, but that's not what's taking place. So Jesus doesn't answer his questions per se, but he most certainly answers the question in the way that Jesus answers properly and righteously. So Jesus answered him and said, "If anyone loves me," I want you to pay attention to this, okay? This is important. "He will keep my word." So the person who believes in Jesus Christ, the person who has faith, the person who trusts, the person who loves Jesus Christ will be a follower, an obedient follower of his word. I find that fascinating and quite revealing, quite accurate. "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." He didn't say he will keep the Holy Spirit. He didn't say he will keep these religious experiences. He will not keep his denominational traditions, his allegiance to mankind and their traditions. And he doesn't say anything. Like, he doesn't say anything outside the realm of truth, which is his word. And so, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." What I am speaking is from the Father. Remember, through the perspective of Christ as a human being, mankind. "And so these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you." While I'm in this physical form with you, intimately speaking with you and teaching you and about these things, you know, "but the Helper," verse 26, chapter 14 of John, "but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he," this masculine person, "will teach you all things." He, who is deity, he, person, third of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, masculine here in nature, will teach you. Who? Well, what's the context? He's speaking to his apostles. "And bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. This peace that Jesus is going to extend to his apostles has much more depth and worth than the peace we just verbally say to ourselves, back then, you know, shalom, peace to you. This is more, it has more depth than that. This is a peace that is so strong in you that you'll have the courage to go along and fulfill the Great Commission. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Remember, Jesus is speaking through the perspective of authority. He's speaking through the perspective of his now physical form and God, the Creator, in spiritual. So, now I have told you that now that I've told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father. I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let's go from here. Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit is the topic of this session, okay? The Comforter, the Helper here. The Holy Spirit, His gifts, His role and works in the Bible are truly powerful, okay? Right. And we can receive encouragement in the Father's plan revealed through the third person of the Godhead, directly involved with the people of the first century, confirming the word and supernaturally guiding the apostles into all truth. The Holy Spirit, the helper in this context, was strictly for the audience at hand. To say otherwise is being dishonest and misguided with the text. The Holy Spirit is not a person we receive by our own vocational endeavors. Christ was speaking to his apostles of a supernatural comfort and help in the form of a supernatural reception, which fulfilled the prophets regarding the day of Pentecost recorded in Acts chapter 2. Now, sadly, too many Christians want to keep the Holy Spirit within the confines of sensationalism, emotionalism, and borderline myth and mystery. Now, the error of the Pentecostal persuasion has greatly diminished the power of God through His written word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Does that mean we have no comfort from God today? Well, of course not. God, in His three persons, continues to work with mankind through His Word, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and Providence. The book of Philemon gives great accuracy and insight within the providence of God. Why are we seeking more? Is that not sufficient for us? The Word of God and His providence. Have we not been given everything we need for life and godliness? Well, the apostles certainly thought so. Do we not have the perfect law of liberty? Well, of course we do. Are not all those who obey the Word of God receivers of His Spirit? Well, of course. All who are in line with the Word of God are sealed in Christ. God dwells with and within His faithful people. Well, of course. But none of this truth ever transitions in something the Bible never teaches. I often find myself seeing videos or podcasts or lessons or sermons or studies that come from many Christians that want to add a vague, gray, uncertain, you know, work of the Holy Spirit. And they'll go to this chapter and book and say, see, we've received the Comforter and he does things to us. You know, he helps us pray and he does things to us and he guides us with, you know, we'll have feelings that this is right and this is wrong. And that is so not sober-minded in the scriptures. That is very misguided. It brings the Holy Spirit into something he never was intended to do. The Holy Spirit never does anything to us directly. He may do something for us in prayer, sure, but he never does anything to us directly. You see, we like to go around the Bible and the New Testament and kind of pick out areas where it says Spirit and it says Holy Spirit. And we want to kind of make this out to be some kind of magical thing. Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit, you know, he moves in us, he's with us, and yeah, you know, that's what we have as Christians. You know, we shouldn't be afraid to talk about this because, and it's just not sober. It's not rightly divided. We're taking the Holy Spirit out of the grand picture and we're putting him in a little box we want to have next to us and be like, he's mine, he's mine. He's mine and he does things the way I want him to. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And so please, dear brothers and sisters, let us not cling to misguided ways regarding the Holy Spirit in this context. Let us be true with God and his word. In John chapter 14, verses 16 through 31, we see the Holy Spirit being spoken of here. It was in a supernatural way to be given to the apostles. Okay? Now again, we have the Bible, the words of the Holy Spirit, we have them. We are comforted by them. We read them and we are comforted by them. When we are filled with the Spirit, meaning we do the things the Bible tells us to do, when we are kind to each other, when we love each other, when we are benevolent, when we are evangelizing, all these wonderful things, we are Spirit-filled. We have the Holy Spirit within us when we do what the Bible says do. It's his words. If we just logically go through this and don't make a mess out of the teaching therein, we'll find much joy and peace and fulfillment in the Word of God. I think it's important that we go through these things together and make sense of them. Because oftentimes what we want to do is go to John chapter 14 and read, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. And we think the you, Y-O-U there means me today in 2019, 20, 21, 22. It isn't. If we keep it in its proper context, we'll have that much more respect for the text. Jesus there, within chapters 13 through 17, is in a conversation with his apostles. They must go and fulfill the Great Commission. They will be receiving power from on high, this the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2. They will be able to do powerful things to confirm the word. They will have the miraculous means to draw people to the source, Jesus Christ. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. The miraculous age is what is being spoken of here, okay? In John chapter 14 with the helper, the Holy Spirit. The Comforter. Stefan Maia here, your audio and video servant for this episode. I pray that you are challenged in a positive way to think about these things. I'm not trying to take away from you anything that is comforting in your heart from the Word of God. I'm simply trying to help you see it more accurately. I had to go through these moments. you'll find that depth. It's so pleasing to see the accuracy of the scriptures. Hey, listen, stay positive, stay focused, okay? This is the addedsouls.com podcast powered by the Spencer Church of Christ. We shall again meet here tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless.